name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Christ is risen. It's nice to have a few extra faces here today, even though I can't tell if you're frowning or not. This week has been a bit overwhelming. You know, of course, we had a funeral, which was, believe it or not, my first funeral here. But beyond that, I think it was last Saturday night at 11 at night, I got the directives from the diocese, and all totaled, put together with the diocesan and the OCA directives, and I think it was around 50 pages or so of things to read through. And I wanted to sleep that night on last Saturday. However, it didn't work out that way. But I didn't read them through. I skimmed them because I'm responsible. And I said, I can't deal with this now. It's 11 at night on a Saturday night. I need to pray, go to sleep. But for the next few days, just kind of a little shut down, you know, depressed by the whole thing. Of course, the end of the story is that more of you are here, which was good news. I think I might have misread something and actually thought it was the opposite of that, but it turns out to be good news a little bit. At least some of us are able to come. This whole time has been overwhelming, like that, with new challenges to face. And you see in popular culture the way that these challenges are faced. I'm on Facebook, and so I can see that there are many who are fighting everything. They're fighting face masks, they're fighting every single aspect of this. This whole thing is a hoax. It's garbage. And as someone wrote on our YouTube Paschal Liturgy comment section, this is the year the church apostatized. You know, and the evidence was our empty church and celebrating Pascha with a choir and a priest. So some are out there being great warriors for whatever it is and fighting. Some of us has decided to hide, to flee. And some of us to flee because of fear. And there should be a little bit of fear, of course, but especially the fear of death, especially possibly amongst the older population, could be real tangible. And then some of us, our habit is more to be, to freeze. You know, recognize these from popular psychology. To freeze and to be overwhelmed, to become paralyzed on the inside and really not know what to do with ourselves. Now, there are all sorts of ways to distract ourselves from what's been going on and even the stress we're going to experience as we begin to open back up. And so I'm sure various people have been self-soothing in their most popular sinful ways, looking for ways to comfort themselves in the midst of the chaos and looking for ways to somehow get out of the state that their soul finds itself in and find a moment of relaxation, a way to disconnect from this new reality and to somehow maybe just even feel real and present. This, of course, is universal in our culture. And now we're asked to gradually make our way back and to have a little faith and, of course, take precautions. But there are many from this circumstance who will continue to fight, who will continue to flee, and there are many who will continue to be paralyzed. In today's gospel, we see the story of the paralytic who's been sitting there for 38 years, waiting for the pool to be dropped in to the pool so that he can be healed. He's looking at this pool because it's supposed to be, for him, a source of healing. But after 38 years, it's never a source for healing for him because he has no one to put him in the water. And this is the case whether you're fighting, flighting, or freezing, and you're paralyzed. It is the case that ultimately Christ comes to him and heals him. And each one of us regardless of the state that we find ourselves in, needs Christ to come to us. Now, sometimes Christ can come to us because we pray on our own initiative. We invite him, we seek him, we realize the ridiculousness of our reactions and our responses to whatever the challenges are we face in life, and we repent, we invite him, we turn to him. This sort of thing is always encouraged in the church. However, in today's story, there was nobody to help the man into the water. And so this shows the importance in the Christian faith of community. Because many of us are able to turn and ask Christ to come to us and seek healing and repent and go to confession and follow through. But some of us simply won't be able to do that. For some of us, it's possible. I don't know about this community, but I know in a lot of communities, they have shed members. They have lost people who have gone to a more true Orthodox faith or have simply left in disillusionment because of their violation of their rights or other reasons. I've had people mention some of these themes to me. So as a community, we need to be aware that not everybody is in the spiritual state where they can just stop and turn to Jesus. Now, I wish they all were, and I wish we all could do that, and I wish we were awake enough and sober enough to do that. But the case is sometimes that we become so overwhelmed that we become shut down, paralyzed, stuck in sin, stuck in pathological ways of thinking and acting and being, and we need Christ to be brought to us. Now, Jesus can reveal himself as he did to the Apostle Paul, who was dreadfully deluded on the road to Damascus. Jesus can reveal himself. Absolutely, we believe it. And we should pray that he reveals himself to not only ourselves, but everyone else. But more than that, oftentimes it is the body of Christ itself who is meant to go and meet these people. Make sure you keep at least 8 feet distance when you do it. The point being that as the body of Christ, we're meant to, as a community, we're meant to care about each other. Care about how not only in our physical lives and whether we're sick or healthy, but also care about our spiritual lives. How are you handling this? What are your concerns? How are you doing? In doing so, if it's done in a prayerful way, our presence can be the presence of Christ that the paralyzed person needs. Ultimately, the reason why we would contact people, reach out to them, and be a community isn't so that we can argue with them or convince them that they're just foolish and really, you know, what's the big deal? It's a face mask or whatever it is. Our job isn't to shame and correct people. Our job is to love people, to love even our enemies. But especially within the community, to be able to, and even beyond our community, to the surrounding world, which struggles with the same traumas and weirdness that we've all been going through. If we have the grace of God in us, if we can come to the place where we feel that Christ has ministered to us, then we should also minister to others and bring them peace and bring them healing and be possibly a comfort for people outside of ourselves, outside of our immediate families, and into all of our communities. The paralytic was healed today. He wouldn't have been healed otherwise. There was no community. He was alone. No one would set him in the water. He was obsessed with the water that would never heal him. He was focused on things that weren't going to bring him healing. In some ways, we're all like this. Whether we choose in these times of stress and anxiety to psychologically fly away and hide, to fight for either our rights or for true orthodoxy as it may be, or whether we just simply shut down because it's all too much for us and there's too much pressure. May we invite Christ into our lives, and may we see ourselves as a community that reaches out to one another and tries to pull each one out of their pit and tries to bring them into the presence of Christ through our prayers, through our presence, through our listening and talking, and through the peace which Christ can bestow on other people through us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
He is risen.